Welcome to the CEN Show, a platform where we learn from the world community. I'm your host, Roski Mascagni. And on the panel this evening, we got Ernest McBride Jr., Professor Amin Ra, Brother Ahi, Brother Mashinda, and Brother Mansong is on with us this evening. He was invited by Brother Kwabena. And Brother Kwabena is our guest this evening. Brother Kwabena is basically a team member. And if you go to the website and you look at the about section, it lists our team members. But Brother Kwabena, we haven't put his information up there yet, but we will one day. But he's here all the time, gives us great information about what he's doing. He's an activist, strong brother, and we just appreciate his work and all the things he do. Brother Kwabena, before we start this evening, I want to ask you a question. What gives you inspiration to do the type of work you do, and who were your mentors or people who inspired you that led you in this direction?
Man, oh wow, just love, man, love for the people, you know, loving children, man. I mean, these babies and children, I just love them, you know. They make me laugh. I try to make them laugh, give them faces, talk about them, tell them, call them names, just play with them. Just humanity, man. People, you know, the beautiful. There's a lot of beautiful things on this planet, a lot of beautiful people, and our struggles against oppression, man. It just I get inspiration from history. And from those of us who are still here who've done so much good work, and we're going to talk about Brother Imam Jamil Al-Amin, but Kwame Ture was definitely an inspiration. Just listening to him speak, getting to know him personally, you know, when I was in school, and just I was thinking about when we're going to talk about Brother Imam Jamil, a collage I had in our house in Carson back in the day. It was funny because I had two older brothers and a stepbrother, Brother Philip and his mother. Him and my father split. And so him and I were roommates, and we had a room, and my oldest brothers had a room. So when they split, you know, Philip, you know, left, and you know, my oldest brother stayed in a room together, and I had a room by myself. So I'm the young, I had a room to myself. So I got that wall, man. I started cutting out pictures of Ebony's and Jet, wherever I could find them, and pictures of Wild and Kareem going at it, and Connie Hawkins, and, you know, all these sports players, Pittsburgh said to round up the top, round up with all the black players, Clemente and Starjo. I had all of them in my room. And I also had pictures of H-Rap Brown and Kwame Ture and Huey and Bobby and the Black Panther Party. And just, you know, I had all of that up there, you know, so Leroy Jones and just, you know, our history, just looking at our history. And during that time, coming up as a child during that time, being allowed the freedom to put all that up. And then, like I said, my uncle, you know, was a member of the Black Panther Party. And so a lot of his comrades would be about the house, man. The Freeman brothers were always at the house, Brother Harold Taylor. I mean, they were always, Long John, they were always at the house. They would talk to my daddy, so many others. And then, you know, then ironically, when my father and mother split, I mentioned Philip and my stepmother leaving, but, you know, Majadi was friends with so many people in the US organization. So I would see them. That's how I got my first name, Saigidi, from a brother named Saigidi, who I heard just recently transition. But yeah, so all of that, man. And then our music, bro. You know, I talk about the collage I had, but all the cool brothers with their shades on and all that too, the revolutionaries, but also had some beautiful sisters up there too. As a child, I'd get them sisters and put them up in my collage too. I had a wonderful collage. What happened to that? All them pictures. I had my room was like, and one wall was almost filled with just our people up there. And you know, seeing that every day and this music, and we're going to talk about it. But this music, and even I listen to the classic music now, it moves me. And unique to me, it's all of us. It's our culture. Our culture is so beautiful. I know we struggle as Black people. They had this thing called I Love Being Black that was out, you know, in recent years, wristbands and stuff. And, you know, people would ask the question, you know, even with all our struggles, you know, what race would you rather be? And most people say, hey, I'm good. I'm good being Black, you know. I'm good being African. So just
now, what do you title your activism? What is it titled?
I don't know. I mean, I wasn't planning on doing this. You know, I still work every day, work a lot. I don't have a title for it. I just when things be happening. You know, like here in Gary, I work with a group of people called GARD, which is Gary Advocates for Responsible Development, and they're mostly European. There's some Africans on there too. You can't help that in Gary with us being 80% black, but you know, I mean, I care about this environment too, and people are just don't care, and they just don't know. If they knew, they would do more. When you know better, like Brother Renoko would say, when you know better, you do better. And even with the point of knowing ourselves as a people, knowing who we are, when you know you're African, I mean, sky's the limits. When you love yourself as being African, even with all our struggles and what we're dealing with, you know, when you know yourself, you love yourself. You know our history, what we've been through, what we had to struggle with, what we continue to do. You know, you work to improve. You see brothers and sisters doing some things or the environment like not like it should be, and you'll work to improve that. You'll try to share that information. So yeah, those are some of the things. But I don't have really have a name for what we do. I don't know, black. But my brother Kwesi Ron Harris used to call it blacktivism. Kwesi had a late ancestor. He said he had a lot of
Blacktivism.
yeah,
I
a
heard it.
blacktivist.
Okay, so the topic is rap fatigue and rap brown. So let us know about that.
Okay, and you know when you mentioned that too, and being a part of the community education network, a lot of times I don't get to be on live, but I do at times get a chance to go back and check out the archive, check out the recent programs. I got a chance to check out some of the program last week about in tribute to Brother Imam Jamil Al-Amin, and I definitely got to go back and check out our tribute to Brother Professor Amin-Ra when I get a chance. And so, but catching up, you know, with the programming here, and there's other great networks and stuff too. We were on with Ra, this brother named Ra, man, this bad brother. He wrote this book called Fact, Fundamental African Centered Thought. It's called The Fact Show, as a matter of fact. And he does a, I mean, a hip hop historian. So we did the, I did a first piece with Rap Fatigue with him, and I said I should expand this and do it even more. And at the end of November, you know, we've been doing the Malcolm X lecture series honoring the 100th anniversary of the birth of Malcolm X, who was born in 1925. And so we've been having all sorts of, you know, great pieces on that. And the last one, I did it myself, and it was about, you know, Malcolm, Rap Brown, and our rap fatigue. I called that part one. We did that the other day with our brother Tabidi on the Black Health Report. And so, you know, we talked about all that, and that's why I wanted to follow up. I told him I'm going to follow up with the Community Education Network today. But rap fatigue is people being tired, just tired of this horrific music. And it came to a light, a big light was shined on it when Kendrick Lamar and SZA's song Luther dropped out of the top 40. And when you know when we say top 40, we already know we're talking about pop charts, top 100 pop charts, top 40 songs in the country. And it dropped out. And so that was the first time since early 90s that there was no rap song in the top 40. You know, for like 30 some years, there's been always a rap song in the top 40 somewhere. So I hate to mention his name, but I got to give him, since he did say it, I got to talk about it. Boyce Watkins talked about that white folks are tired of it, which is the obvious point because it's their, you know, that's top 40, that's them. And, you know, people always talk about they listen to most of the music, they buy most of the music. Yeah, numbers really show that. But even when you look at these modern day minstrel fests, they're beyond minstrel, they're worse than minstrel, these fests that they have every summer all around the country. You'll see the majority of people in those fests a lot of times are Europeans. And I say, yeah, because they can afford those $400, $1,000 tickets to go see that confused Africans get on stage, dropping N-bombs on each other, disrespecting their women and calling for us to kill each other. So they go up there and they're entertained by that. But this shows that, hey, they're getting tired of the same old thing too. Not much creativity in it. People are tired of the messages. So there was some, and Willie D also did a program about it, but there's a bunch of other programs about it. And there's some sisters, young folks, young brothers and sisters who are complaining about it. They ain't talking about, you know, you out telling me I'm out of touch or whatever myself, but these are young brothers and sisters. And they're just like tired of the same old themes. Tired of like, you know, we're talking about basketball for a minute, a little earlier. And Megan Peet, you know, she goes with Klay Thompson, formerly of the Warriors, now with the Mavericks. And his sisters were like getting on her. I'm like, okay, really? And you still making these songs? So I don't want to share the songs, but if you guys, we shared some of the lyrics on part one. But there's a song called Lover Girl by her. By, and I shouldn't say her, that's another artist, by Megan Peet. And I don't call her Megan the Stallion because the Stallion is a male, as they said, a circumcised male horse. And this is a sister. You know, so the song is the same old thing. Just might as well be a porn song, dropping in bombs, who she throwing it on. And there's even a video for it. So look up the video, y'all, to Lover Girl. Close your eyes when you watch it. Don't be excited about how fine the sister is or whatever. The other sisters in there, too. And most of you won't because it doesn't, yeah, I don't get, you know, I'm going to quote my friend, my brother, talking about doing stuff that, no, I'm not going to say it. It's kind of crazy. But it's so, not exciting at all to me.
The problem, though.
Huh?
So, you know, I was thinking about Klay Thompson dating this woman. And then you have Steph Curry, you know, behind this, you know, with a group of people behind putting this Good Times animation out. And do you think it's kind of contradictory to, you know, first of all, you're supposed to be intelligent. You know, Curry speaks well, Klay Thompson, you know, they seem articulate. So if you're articulate, you're able to understand the difference between right and wrong. And then you, on the one hand, you out in the open, you know, speaking about, you know, things that you like Klay, he was pissed off at Ja Morant for saying something to him. But you dating a woman that put out filthy music, you have Jay-Z exploiting his woman all the time. And so I think, do you think it just is just because monetary reasons that these people just are willing to put out or deal with Phil just to make money?
No, I don't think it's just monetary because, you know, Steph don't need no more money or Klay either. But so I think a lot of it is probably what they've been told to do. It's almost, I go back to Carter G. Woodson because Miseducation of the Negro and that back door he's talking about that's cut out for us that we go out. Even if there ain't no back door, you know, we're going to cut one out and do it. So even in the case of these confused Africans who do their work of the enemy, I think they've been, Carter G. Woodson's miseducated so much so and so much full of self-hate. I remember dealing with the issue of the song Trap Queen. I think it was Trap Queen was the name of the song by Fetty Wap. And it was the Golden State plane going back on their chartered plane. And that's what they all rapping this song about, sisters slanging drugs out of an abandoned house. A Trap Queen. And it's like, really, y'all, N-bombs in the song. So this, pervertedness of it too, what's the word, pervasion of the inundation of the masses of our people with this vile, vulgar, and violent, demeaning, degrading, music, S-I-C-K. I mean, the effect of that, bro, is out of control right now. So, you know, and then they continue to pub it up. So when I mentioned Kendrick's song dropping out of the top 40, you know, them beasts didn't wait long at all to put a song in the top 40. And guess what song broke the top 40? Lover Girl from Megan Pete. That's the song that jumped in the top 40 to break that little stretch that they had. And so they put this, they promote that stuff, they push it up. By the way, from what I read, that song made it up to whatever number above 40, but 2 weeks later, it's gone. It ain't even in the top 100 no more. It peaked and it's gone in 2 weeks. Because it's the same old crap if you listen to it. But they also put, I heard it at a local station just recently playing that porn. I was like, why y'all playing this porn for our children? You know, so it's straight up porn. And so that broke the top 40. Now, before that, when Kendrick's song did get out, and SZA, there was a song at number 44. And that was a song called Shot Caller by NBA Youngboy. And again, we're just talking about hoop, but NBA don't stand for hoop. It stands for Never Broke Again. You know, I think about these names and these acronyms that these rappers call themselves, Never Broke Again. I think about YFN Lucci. What does YFN mean? YFN is Young Fly, N-I-G-G-A, Lucci. He's in concert, as a matter of fact, coming out here in a couple of weeks in Chicago, or maybe next week in Chicago for their I Heart or No Heart Fest another rapper who did time for racketeering charges, because he's out now, YFN Lucci. He had a song that they were playing on the radio where he said, Chopper decapitate him, blow his face off. Chopper decapitate him, blow his face off. That was in the lyrics of the song they were playing in hot rotation in Chicago, Illinois, and probably, I'm sure, other radio stations throughout the United States, telling our people to kill each other in song. Not even edited. Chopper decapitate him, blow his face off real quick. And so when we talk about rap fatigue, people are tired of it. The song Shot Calling by NBA Youngboy. NBA Youngboy just got off tour. He may still be touring, but he's a notorious rapper out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Ironically, same place where Imam Jamil Alameen was born. And Youngboy is like, I remember my little relative, she was in high school, 10th grade, probably about six years ago, talking to me about NBA Youngboy. Another relative was there recently. She wanted to go to the NBA Youngboy concert. I mean, you're not going. I mean, I'm as an uncle, I'm breaking in. You're not going. You can't go. You know, her little brother, my little nephew, her big brother, that's coming in and tell her, no, his stuff is still violent and vulgar and ridiculous. You're not going. I think he got about, I don't know how many children he got, but his stuff is just crazy, man. But he raps about straight up killing people. And he did no different than this number 44 song, Shot Caller. And the people are tired of it. So rap fatigue, you're fatigued because you've been, you know, if you fatigue your muscles when you're working out, you know, you're tired of the repetitive motion. The people are tired of the repetitive, ignorant music.
So what is this song with Kendrick Lamar and the other guy? What was that about?
So the song, Luther. It was an okay song. No N-bombs in it. Almost like an R&B type song. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't bad. Kendrick has had some that I think I don't really care for, but, you know, people love him. Because, again, like Kendrick, when he was speaking with Drake, he said every time he hears Drake drop these N-bombs, he cringes. And I'm like, wow, I've used that before, too, because I saw somebody stated it. Every time they hear the N-bomb, they cringe. I just added to it, and I still do. I never want to get to the point where it doesn't make me, I don't want to say cringe, but it doesn't, I don't want to be able to sit well with hearing that word. But which is a tough thing to do nowadays because you hear it so much, mainly coming from our people. But he says it makes him cringe. And then later on in the song, before the song's over, he said it about 7-8 times because Drake can't say it because Drake has, his mom is a European of Jewish religion and his daddy's an African. You know, Drake's daddy is Larry Graham's from Graham Central Station's brother. That's why Aubrey Graham is his name. So he has musical roots, you know, right there in his family. That's why Aubrey Graham. But no, so... Yeah, the song wasn't that bad though. Luther from Kendrick and SZA, the sister named SZA. But this NBA Youngboy song is horrible. So the people are if you just look it up, you'll see interviews with people talking about they're tired of it. The industry is pushing back, fighting back again, throwing Megan's song up in the top 40 real quick, but it didn't sustain itself. We know it's artificial, and they do this purposely. They know exactly what they're doing. There was a song, and I've mentioned this before. I think it's worth mentioning it again. In 2016, Chicago had 780 homicides. If 780 people were killed, 750 of them look like us. Also in 2016, Chicago had 11 people, at least 11, I think it was over 11, shot every day. Every day. If 11 people were getting shot every day in Chicago in 16, 10 of them look like us. Every day. A father asked me, said, what do you think would happen if they stopped playing this crap on these radio stations like this? How many people do you think would be getting shot every day? Like that, you know, it's a good question. Maybe two or three. Maybe, and I'm telling you, the violence is down a little bit in Chicago right now. Some days, many days, there's nobody being shot. And so, one or two in terms of an average, maybe one a day, it may go down to that, getting shot. I don't know, because the music is the fuel that's keeping these fratricidal fires going. And it's starting them and it's keeping them going. This ignorant, kill black people music that they play every day. And starting from even before 50 Cent had this song out where he said in the lyrics, I'm going to have your mama picking out your casket. I'm going to have your mama picking out your casket. Being played on the radio, on the iHeart They call them No Heart. We call them No Heart, but iHeart radio stations. And iHeart has at least 28 radio stations around the country. And I want to mention some solutions in a minute because I want to touch on that. iHeart and the 28 radio stations around the country that play that kill Black people music in major and minor metropolitan areas, hamlets, whatever you want to call them, throughout the country. At least 28 of them playing this poison. Another family member, I was just in Louisiana. He breaks. He I heard him. You know, think they don't think I know this, but he should know I know it. He's singing in the kitchen. We could have been superstars. I was like, oh, okay. So you hear singing? You hear singing? Was that Lil Uzi Vert, Kodak Black song, Gremlins, huh? He said the song is about jacking cars. We could have been super. Remember when we were superstars? No, we could have been superstars. Remember when we were jacking cars? That's in the chorus, and they got children like a choir singing that song about jacking cars. And we're down here near New Orleans, and I remember a couple years ago, New Orleans radio, Slop Pop radio station was lamenting the fact that there were 275 murders and 274 carjackings that year. This was like in January, so they were talking about last year's st statistics. And as soon as they got finished lamenting about that, the next song they played was Gremlin Superstars by Kodak Black, where he talks where in the chorus, just bragging about jacking cars. And here we are up in Chicago, up in Wisconsin, where a lot of these carjackings are taking place. Our sisters can't even go to the gas station tonight. Black women can't even go to the gas station tonight for fear of their cars being jacked, somebody putting a gun in their head and taking their damn car. And these European-owned radio stations are telling our children in the chorus, bragging about jacking cars. And on the same song, he talks about he'll kill somebody with witnesses watching. He don't care. He's gonna shoot you with the witness watching. He talks about taking these tainted drugs, but he can take them because he's a gremlin. The song is Gremlin Superstars. I'm taking and this I'm telling you, in Chicago, that song was played from I believe it was like April 2022. No, I first heard it in December 2022. All the way through 23, and this again was January 24 when I was in New Orleans, and they were lamenting about all these carjackings and shootings and homicides. The 275, 274, and that song was in hot rotation for all that time. By hot rotation, I mean being played 15 to 20 times per day,
Brother
constantly in your head,
Parliament,
huh?
I want to, I'm just, I didn't heard you talk about this before. And it's just every time I hear it, my reaction is these darn devils, the audacity of them, just the Professor Rob was just talking about President Trump going after these Somalians and wanting to put them out of the country. It's so pathetic how these people are. They seem like they're not people. Something's wrong with them. But I just wanted to get reactions from what you just, what you said so far, and then we get right back to you from the panel here, just to see how this affects how they think about this stuff, man, because it gets under my skin.
I'm going to finish one point again about these charts and this rotation, and then just please do that because I would love to hear what they have to say
Yeah.
too. So I'm going to go back to, like I said, that hot rotation for the song "Gremlin Superstars" in New Orleans, in Chicago, and how they what they do, and again, Chicago has a lot more people. Our people in Gary would complain because Gary was leading the league and listen to me, leading the league, leading the murder capital in murders. When I say murder capital, that's the United States. But they were leading it in murder for so many years. 13 out of the first 15 years I was here, Gary led the nation in murders per capita. They don't count us no more because the population has gone down so much. Because people move out of here. They want to get away from this. All this is part of the forced removal. All this is part of what Fred Hampton Jr. talked about, the new housing for Black folks is, are the prisons and the cemeteries. All that's part of that because they're getting us out of the areas they want to take. But in 2016, I mentioned in 22, 275 homicides or 76 in New Orleans. In 2016, 780 in Chicago. But of course, but Chicago's a much better city. So January 1st, 2016, the Sun-Times had an article, had a paper. I still got it. They had little snapshots of the people who were homicide victims. So by the end of January, I tuned into the No Heart radio station, the iHeart radio station, formerly Clear Channel, and to listen to their top 10 rap songs. Out of the top 10 rap songs, five of them had in the lyrics, "If Young Metro don't trust you." Y'all know the answer to that now, right? "I'm gonna shoot you." In five of the songs, XBITCH, Bounce Back, Bad and Bougie, what was the other song? Reach Out My Hands to My Father, and You Was Right by Lil Uzi Vert. On You Was Right by Lil Uzi Vert, he goes to a club, meets his sister he likes, and he tells his friend he was right because his friend told him he should have took her into the bathroom and screwed her in the bathroom. Excuse me, disrespected her in the bathroom. In the bathroom of the club. No, he didn't do that. He took her home. They got busy. Later on, he finds out she's with four other guys. He gets mad at her, takes it out on her sister, gets busy with her sister, and then makes her sister vanish. I make her disappear. So he either takes her out or kidnaps her, whatever he does, but he makes her sister vanish. And oh, by the way, if Young Metro don't trust you, I'm going to shoot you. So in hot rotation on five different songs in the top 10, that means they're being played 15 to 20 times a day. Say it's 20. So 100 times a day, our children are being told, if you don't trust somebody, you should shoot them. And that was in 2016. So we go to 2024. The number one album in the country is by No Future and Metro Boomin. And the thing goes, if Young Metro don't trust you, I'm going to shoot you. So here we go. What is that? 7 years later, the number one, they got an album out now called We Don't Trust You. Still pushing that to us. Number one album in the country for a period of time in the spring of 2024. Followed up by another album that came out by the same two dudes entitled We Still Don't Trust You. If you listen to the songs on these albums, the number one album, again, 7 years later, they still use this tagline, if Young Metro don't trust you, I'm going to shoot you. And included on that was Kendrick Lamar's song as a compilation to go in and start dissing Drake. So they're still doing it to us, and they know exactly what they're doing, and people are tired of it.
It's mental illness, and it's sick, and it's deliberate towards us. Brother Ahi.
These young kids don't know what they're listening to. About 30 years ago, I was talking to my young cousin. She was in high school here, and I was talking about rap music and the effect of rap music on young people. And she was just basically saying, oh, it's just funny to me that we know that's not real and so-so. And I don't think that the young people internalize this and it manifests itself in their actions. And so she went through the University of Michigan. I got her undergrad in social work, work in that field, and got her master's in administration or something. And we had that conversation again. Totally different outlook on it now.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different. And I just, I mean, from even from our young women who are sex workers, there seems to be a prerequisite for them to get into the business. They are desirable. Can you imagine your mother being Cardi B? And she's got these videos of her and how she and her girlfriends used to go out and practice fellatio on these random guys and pictures of her doing sex work in the sex clubs. And all these actions are not happening with your daddy. But they're desirable, like you say, Klay Thompson, Megan Thee Stallion, Glorilla, they lined up with these women. It's a mentality that they didn't learn it at home. So this music is more powerful than we want to give it credit for. So I would say that they are the enemy within, spewing this filth. And that's about equivalent to giving Donald Trump a vote. So I can't say any more on that.
All right. Man.
Man. Right on.
Okay, Brother Ernest?
Well, I can't really comment because the only radio station I listen to is 90.7, you know, KPFK.
Yeah.
So in the news, other and I've never watched like KJLH and all them places, even though my cousin, yeah, he's my wife's cousin is a godson of Smokey Robinson and Claudette, you know, he was always talking about rap. Then I don't think I've ever even heard a rap song, maybe with something Flavor Flav put out a couple of songs like that, and that's about the extent of my knowledge as far as rap goes, you know, because I just don't listen to it. You
I
know, I'm a
heard it.
kind of I'm an R&B and reggae fan, so that's my thing. So
Oh, well,
I thought you were
I'm
gonna
right there with you.
say you
Well,
went
Ernest, do
to
you
yeah.
watch Democracy Now?
No, my daughter keeps trying to get me, but like I tell her, well, I can't get. I watched them two women. You know, when she's here, she'll be here for Christmas Day for 2 weeks, so I'll probably be watching it the whole time she's here. But
Okay.
she's trying to get me to watch it every day, but I said, I can't get your mama because your mama got the Cowboy Channel sold
Okay.
up, you know. So I have to be watching Audie Murphy or Wells Fargo or the Long Ranger or something, you know.
Okay.
So
Okay, Kwame, you were saying something?
I was just gonna say, I thought you were gonna say, listen to KGFJ. I mean, that's the station I remember growing up in LA. The KGFJ was
Oh, yeah, when they
the
quit R&B, that, you know, start playing this, I stopped listening to them. So,
KGFJ.
yeah.
Professor Rock.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I have a different take on all of We have to come up with solutions. But the issue is, that's American. Everything they're rapping about is American. It's American culture. Rap Brown even said, American violence is like apple pie. Martin Luther King said, America's the biggest purveyors of violence. Malcolm said they'll sell you a gun. I sell you liquor, and then arrest you for being drunk. But if you have a culture, a value system that comes from your family, a community, or an organization, it don't affect you. You got Muslims that don't eat pork, according to their teaching. They walk by pork, wiener schnitzels, they won't stop. They ain't gonna eat no bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich. They just keep going because it's in their spiritual culture not to eat the pig. If you want kids not to listen to rap, you gotta teach them that. And put something in its place. Ethics and values and a mission, a purpose. What they rap about, America make them people that used to make them song celebrities. I remember Snoop Dogg was on top of VIP Records doing the Crip Walk. They make them kids heroes. Make them want to be like them. Make come out with a record, Wine and Juice or something, Whiskey and Juice. I mean, what? I mean,
Right, that's sipping on gin and juice.
I mean, but see, when rap first started out, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. It had message in a lot of it. You had some rappers that were rapping positive stuff. The European, through Source Magazine, and even Quincy Jones, who got Vibe magazines, and then the white people in the major studios. Stop promoting these people. I'm like Ernest. I turn them off. Even when they're giving them awards. And one time they said what Lil Wayne was our number one artist. I said, no, he's your number one artist. He ain't mine. You can't tell me what to like. But see, we don't teach our kids, beware of the air in the hand. Beware of European culture. And we don't give them a culture that they can embrace. More of our people will celebrate Christmas than Kwanzaa. Their own holiday, a black holiday. More of our people will celebrate 4th of July instead of Juneteenth. And until we begin to teach values and ethics, and the kids go out into the world, and the worst thing that happened, and Kwame tested it, was earphones. You used to could monitor what your kids listen to. Now you don't know what they are they listening to. Because they got earphones on. I know a brother named Saul Langston. He told his son, don't listen to no rap. And his son had started listening to it and buying CD. Saul went in his room, got all the CDs, took them out in the street, and cracked them open and broke them all up with a hatchet. Now, that may help, may not. I wouldn't be that extreme. But I'm just saying it's a culture dynamic. They just being American. White folks made the Godfather Academy Award. Oh man, cut off their horse head. Man, they're shooting and killing each other. Sex and violence. And that's what they're talking about Epstein about. Sex and violence is American value. Why do you think we got so many different color black people? The same white men that say he don't like black people have sex with the women and men. The white woman, sneak off and get her piece. You understand? And we got to face it that, they see us for entertainment, sex, military, taxes, and entertainment. That's it. That's all we are to them. You got 100 brothers playing for Georgia and Alabama, states that hate them when they ain't on the football field. Hate them. But hundreds of thousands of people cheer for them, beat the hell out of each other, run up and down the field like a lawnmower. You understand? I was into it in sports, but I got scholarships and stuff like that. And I don't mind a brother doing what he got to do, but know who you are, as our Kwamenon say. Know your value and your ethics, which we don't teach enough of. You understand? And we don't require it. All these placement homes, if they don't have a 10-point program like the Panthers had to program these kids they're taking care of, that shouldn't be placement homes. If they're just there for the money and let the kids run wild till they're 18, then go get another kid and no one is checking them, it don't make sense. like Ernest is saying, and like he said, you can't bring certain things in my house. You understand? I'm paying rent. I'm raising you. Oh no. You can't bring them Luther and all of that stuff. But BET used to run salacious, sex orientated, violent orientated videos with the rap songs. This is black entertainment. You understand? When they first came out, remember BET used to run video? Five brothers and, I mean, five sisters and a brother in a hot tub. You understand? What's going on? Now you turn it off or you watch it with your kids. I mean, what's going on? When you see wrong, you ain't supposed to amplify it and promote it yourself. You got too many daddies smoking weed, talking gangster talk, and mind gang members and bragging about telling stories in front of their kids about who shot who. All that plays a part in it. And that's why I always advocate a cultural revolution of social culture. We got a lot of spiritual culture, Reverend Wright out of Chicago, the church that Obama was going to before he quit because they put pressure on him. He married them, he named their kids, they practiced Kwanzaa, they practiced the Nguzo-Sabo. We can't get black people to embrace black value systems. The ones that do think they're going to heaven without an airplane ticket that they're going to fly away after they die. And their whole purpose of living is to fly away. I'm going away soon. Going home soon. All them records. It just, it takes you out. Now, I ain't saying you shouldn't be spiritual and love some gospel song, but I mean, rapping is as old as preachers rap. Isaac Hayes used to rap. Isaac rap. They rap about different things. These people are rapping about being in America. Not that they do that half the things that they rapping about. And the things that they say they see it on TV. It ain't happening in their neighborhood for the most part until they start making it happen in their neighborhood.
That part.
You understand? They start implementing that. A lot of the games are nothing but a set, three or four people, five people, raising habit. So I just say that if you don't culture is the deification of yourself, of your history, of your values and ethics, you gotta deify them. You understand? But, like Parmelon said, when you've got young people who are influenced by this, and they take a couple puffs of some wild weed or some angel dust or some crack, they're liable to do anything. The ultimate high is death. That's the ultimate high. I mean, look at that boy that played basketball and went. He took one snort of cocaine and died. He got drafted. He was supposed to have been drafted by the Boston Celtics. You got your celebrity
Those Reggie, what was his name?
No,
Quavo?
it wasn't Reggie.
You think about Lynn Bias.
Lynn Bias, yep.
Right. You know, I mean, what he calls himself celebrating getting drafted. And go and do something, you know.
Was a bad man too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, our structure, we have to maintain a strong value system, an ethics system, and we were talking about it last night. The family structure, remember we was talking about it? Learning discipline. They had war and don't even know it. You understand? Your biggest contradiction is your own. You got to see that as a parent. What's out there in the world? You got to prepare your child to go out there and don't be a part of it. You understand? Don't let it get you. How do you know? Because you did it. And you saw your friend die early. You see what it did to the community. So you change your trip. So it's a value system. I think that I need to part. But I'll explain. Those are the things that I'm talking about. But anyway, Armand, you take it from there. I mean, to dominate your program.
No, I mean, no, it's very important, the things you brought up. And again, I don't know if Mansong's on, if he's going to say anything, if he's still on there now, but we look at when we did that Malcolm X, the last lecture series, I forgot to mention that the title of it, of that, of the program, was What Happens When One's Enemy Controls One's Culture. And that's when I went into the rap fatigue and we talked a little bit about Imam Jamil, but that was the title of it. And that's what you just mentioned. Culture, how important culture is, and they have control of our culture. I mean, Chicago is probably the second largest concentration of African people in the U.S. is in the Chicagoland area, and both of the radio stations that specifically target our children are owned and ran by European beasts, grown audio pedophiles, violent pedophiles is what they are, and they control the music that goes to our children. Brother McBride, Professor Amara, Kwabena. I can't stand to listen to that crap on these stations. I mean, I was listening to it. I remember speaking at an All African People's Revolutionary Party, not Black August, African Liberation Day program at Winnie Mandela School. And we talked about this music issue. And when we got done, the sister stopped me and she said, "Look, you're really gonna have to stop listening to all this music." Because I was, breaking down what we were hearing. You gotta, because it can get to you. And I did. From that point, I don't listen as much as I cut down probably about three quarters of the time that I monitor these stations. And I stopped saying I listen to the radio station. I stopped even saying that. I say I'll monitor. But if I'm a grown man and it's doing this to me, you know what it's doing to the young impressionable minds of our children. And you mentioned the whole thing about the headphones. I mean, I've been in the car with my newest Max girlfriend, and her daughter had the beat up women headphones. And yes, we call them beat up women headphones from Dr. Dre. That's when headphones were costing us $20, $25, $15 to $300 for a pair of headphones. $300. And then listen, I said, let me check out finally. I listened to the headphones to see this quality of them. That, it's $300. And what she was listening to. I said, what are you listening to? So you're so right. We can't figure out what they're listening to. They won't tell. They'll tell you some. They'll tell me because they don't know that I know the songs, and they tell them right away. I just shake my head. I said, "Don't they say this in that song?" But they are listening to some horrific music. But it's also interesting too that, like, I was at a Gary School Board meeting one time, and I was trying to think of the name of the song before I went up to speak, and to share with the school about these issues with this fighting in the schools. And I'll never forget the young brother couldn't answer the title of the song. But his mama did. His mama right away gave us the title of the song. And I had the same situation a couple of days ago. I was at the spot and I was talking to the sister and her son. He was about 15. She was whatever age. But I was asking him about the music. And he got on his mama for listening to that. Yeah, I don't really listen to that. But my mama be listening to it. And as I was talking to his mama about it, he was like, "Mama, there go your song." I'm like, what are you talking about? So there was a song on, and we were at a laundromat. There was a song being played in the laundromat, that was by, I think it was Al Green or somebody, or the Gap Band. And she said, "Mama, that's your song." So I said, "Oh, he must like it too." Yep, the young brother love this classic, these classics. And our children, they do. They love the classics, and they're getting tired of this. And so this is one of the things why we want to bring this out, because we're gonna stay on this. Yeah, we're getting tired of it, so you got to make some changes. I wanted to say, oh, and real quick too about those who control our culture. Like, and I'm sure I brought this up before, but it's worth bringing up again. There's a guy out of a group out of Florida, I think it's Jacksonville, called Do Better Now. And you may have seen the guy's TED Talk, or they call him White Mike on rap music. But one of the things we worked with them for a little while, and one of the things he found out was that, well, their group did some research, and these radio stations, they're not owned by Clear Channel or Crawford or any of these other Emmis. They own the licenses. I mean, they can purchase the license to use that radio station for a certain amount of time. The frequency is owned by the people, the government, the people. So iHeart, used to be Clear Channel, has at least seven radio stations in the Chicagoland area. Some that do news, pop, some, and they got one that does pop, Kiss FM, white folks music. And since pop music, style stuff we like too. That's for young Europeans. The one for young Africans is called WGCI, which is a slop pop station. They did a study that said every time they get one sexual reference, we got 25. A 25 in one ratio of sexual references on a station that targets Africans as compared to Europeans. When it came to the violence, it was a 50 to one ratio. Every time they got one song with a violent reference in it, turn over to the station, the black station, for their children, and they got 50. A 50 to one ratio of violence. Same company, same age group. Only difference is one's European, one's African. This is a type of purposeful programming they're doing to the masses of our people. So when we say, out of the 11 people shot every day, 10 of them look like us, there's a reason for that. This music, like you said, has an influence. Music always has had an influence, has an influence on us right now. And they're saying these words, and it's getting rewarded by the Grammys, rewarded by the NAACP Image Award, rewarded by the BET Awards. The Rap Awards finally got taken away because people are getting tired of it. And they're expressing their frustration with all this inundation of the same song being heard all the time. I'll never forget when I was in high school, how I got so tired of "And the Beat Goes On" and "Lady." They were playing both those songs constantly by the Whispers. I'm so tired of it. I just couldn't. I still, even today, I still struggle with listening to those. I love the Whispers, but I still struggle with listening to those two songs. But however, there was a song that they played a lot too. "Haven't You Heard" from Patrice Rush? I could listen to that right now and turn it all the way up. But they'll wear you out with the music. They've been doing that, and our children, our people, any white folks seems like are tired of it. So I mean, that's the piece, man. In terms of solutions, so we work with, different organizations, CEMOTAP, which is the Committee to Eliminate Media Offensive to African People. Dr. James McIntosh, Sister Betty Dobson, work on those. And also we got Brother LeGrand Clegg out there in the LA area. I work with the National Black Leadership Alliance, also with Brother Bob Law, a radio veteran, a music and talk radio veteran. And also the Nubian Leadership Circle with our brother Siddiqui out of Boston. And we have these thing called these different cadres, and we have these working shops. So our next working shop, which will be held very soon, we're going to finish this database. We got a database we started with all the radio stations and cities all across the country that target our children with this ignorance, with this madness. I know, Professor Rao, you were talking about we got to put an alternative in there, but the alternative is already there. There's already brothers and sisters making good music. We know our people have not lost the ability to sing or play instruments, but they don't get played. They'll play Megan and Cardi, like our brother just mentioned earlier. Cardi can't really rap a lick. They'll play that and push it. So what we have to do also is make them stop. Make them stop playing that violent pornography with songs talking about "I put 20K on your head and have your partners come kill you" being played in high rotation. They have to stop. And so we're going to go after all of these radio stations throughout the country that's pushing that poison on black folks. So we're working on getting that database created. So stay up on that, and I'll keep the people informed on that. So 26, we can't take another quarter of a century of this madness. We can't. We can't. And the professor again talked about marriage. In 2000, there was a study done, and they said that 30% of black women in their 30s Only 30% have been married. Only 30% of them in their 30s. And I thought it was bull. I started thinking about the sisters in my age group at that time. And I was like, wait a minute. No, she ain't married that. Oh, wow. That may be kind of true. Here we are, 25 years later. The number is now 50% of black women of all ages, forget the 30s, of all marrying ages have never been married. 50%. And my question, who gonna marry him? Why would I marry a sister when all I'm hearing on the radio growing up is that I will never wife her. I'm only one nighter. The women are full of lies. I just F them and pass them to my guys. Or I'm a dog. I'm gonna treat her like a dog, feed her like a dog, beat her like a dog, and pass her to my dogs. This is the type of music our children are hearing, just demeaning and degrading our women. Now, in recent years, like the last 7 years, our women are now doing it to themselves. Instead of like Aretha saying, sisters and that sister from the Eurythmics talking about sisters are doing it for themselves. Yeah, sisters are doing it to themselves right now in song, as promoted and pushed by this evil music industry. It's crazy. So, I mean, that's it. The rap fatigue, we're going to jump on it and we'll keep the people informed, but check it out. We got to do something about this. It's culture. Culture is everything. And they got control of our culture and they're feeding our children. We got to get it done. Clear the Airways is the name of our project. And Brother Rap Brown, the term rap, why they use that to talk about this sort of music. I mean, some people do give him credit for it. Because as we know, as you all talked about last week, as so many others people have been talking about him, the brother could rap. He could rap. And I heard somebody mention that he didn't have a book, but he did have a book way back called Die, Niggger, Die, which was an excellent book. I remember reading it as a shorty, and I need to reread it. But it's an excellent book. And think there's another one called Revolution or Islam by the Book or something, but I haven't read that one. That he so he has a couple books out. But yeah, I mean, because he could rap. He went to Southern University, my alma mater, for a minute. Then it was an interview. I was listening to him. People were saying he went to Howard. He said, no, he never enrolled in Howard, but he was up there in D.C. with his brother, who was also an activist. At Southern University, I was in Louisiana last week for the Southern during the Southern Grambling game, and I saw the halftime show. So halftime show of the Southern Grambling game for Southern is Juvenile. Juvenile's song "Back That ASS Up" was out probably, I would think, about 25 years ago. So he's their halftime biggest black college football game in the country. That's who they chose to use. He's from New Orleans. Then you go over to Grambling. Grambling has Glorilla as their featured artist during the halftime show. A sister who changed her name, put an L in there from Gloria to Glorilla. And again, somebody promoting and pushing. And the songs she has are, again, about violence, horrible, dropping in bomb, disrespecting herself and her sisters. And that's who Grambling Southern has. And so when you have five people shot at the homecoming of Howard University, five shot at Lincoln University's homecoming, shootings and homecomings in Mississippi and Alabama, Southern University again, a couple years ago, they had their homecoming concert with Frito Bang, who else? The City Girls and Nardo Wick. So when the people the homecoming at the F.G. Clark Administration Center or Activity Center, I know my frat brothers go across the street to the Kappa House and 11 people get shot. And that's what they were telling you to do in the music, to shoot people. This has an influence, but people getting tired of it, it's going to change. So, I didn't say much about rap, but people going to get a chance to comment, they can. I'll say a few more things. I was hoping that Brother Harold Welton would be able to make it on here with us. Harold is, you guys have had him on previously, dealing with our political prisoners. Harold is a former member of SNCC and the Black Panther Party. I'm not sure if he was able to get on, but I will say that our brother was definitely railroaded into this last prison term he had, this prison sentence he had. The two officers who were shot in Atlanta, they had wounded the person who shot them. When they captured Imam Jamil Al-Amin in Alabama, he had no gunshot wounds, no wounds on him of the sort. There's a guy who confessed and described what happened. At this shooting, he's locked up in prison now already, but he was out at that time avoiding parole, avoiding an issue. He's the one who confessed to shooting these two policemen. So this man was railroaded and had been locked up since I think what around 99. So for like 25, 26 years and succumbs in prison. But one of our greats, again, long live the spirit of Imam Jamil El-Amin, also known as H. Rap Brown, bad brother, bold brother. I don't know if it was Kwame talking about, he's a bad man. So he was, you know, we love him. We love what he meant to us. You know, I don't know if you guys saw that clip. We showed it on part one the other day of him and Kwame coming out of a courtroom in Alabama. And, you know, just doing like we do, laughing, embracing, and walking, enjoying, you know, and talking. This is just a down to earth, righteous clip of them brothers. So yeah, study his work. Check out Die and Die. You know, check out A Revolution by the Book. You know, read these brothers. Listen to so many interviews he has on there, on social media, with him speaking. And we got to free our political prisoners. There's not too many more political prisoners left in from the Black Liberation Movement. You know, Mumia is still locked up. We got to free Mumia. I think Brother Kamal Siddiqui is still locked up, but so many other political prisoners who were politicized once they got to prison still need to be unleashed. Got to still to keep that demand up to free our political prisoners. Long live the spirit of Imam Jamil Al-Amin.
Appreciate it, Brother Kwabena. Brother Ahi, any last words? Brother Ahi.
No, sir, brother. It's been a very thorough evening. I think every corner of this has been touched on. It's a very emotional thing because it's real, it's tangible. And you're right. It all starts with the education, and unfortunately, the dumbing down of America is successful because we got a bunch of dumb Americans go out here, and when you're dumb, you're gullible. So it's, as Professor Rao was saying, it starts with what we teach them at home. We've got to get control of the knowledge that's going into our children. Unfortunately, the mass media is the mass media, but we've got to somehow control that as far as what our children are receiving. All right. Thank you, Brother Rashaki.
Thank you, Brother. Kwabena, we definitely want to keep up with you in that database so we can have that, you know, plastered all over our platforms. We definitely need that. Brother Ernest, any last word?
So, yeah, I'm kind of following along, kind of open up my eyes because I never really give this a lot of thought because I didn't listen to the rap and my kids didn't, and then now my grandkids don't either, but they're into this computer games, you know, and I think there's a bit of violence in that stuff, you know. So maybe that might be next.
Yeah, they got these computer games that are violent, that's for sure.
Yeah, that music is in there too. That means they play that music in a lot of those violent computer games too. Yeah, they know it. It's in there.
Okay, Professor Rob,
this double point. You know, in the music industry, on the radio, particularly, and even Grammy and Oscars and all that, it's all about payola. You know, you can't get your record out. Studios lock up the DJ. Shoes of Night and Puppy, they learn the game and they go in there with a couple thousand or 3,000 to get their stuff on the air. I mean, that's one. That's it. We've always had crime in our community because of our condition. We used to hotwire cars. They just evolved to jacking them. We used to go in there and knock off the ignition and get some foil and cut the wires and start the car and take it and strip it and sell it, sell every part on it. We steal hubcaps and teardrops on the cars. But the Latinos fix their car up. We just roam the neighborhood. We always had gangs. I was in so many gangs, I can't even remember them. You know, I mean, sets. You know, it's coming up in Watson, Compton. You know, I'm not saying what they're doing today is not escalated by rap. They have taken it to a different level with phenomenon and saying, where they're shooting at people. We used to walk to parties, walk to school. Nobody thought about getting shot. They got shot drills at schools now. You know, shooting drills. We used to go, what we had was a fire alarm and go out, everybody go out to the gym field. Now you hit the deck, buddy. You get up on the, you know, and then you just talk. It's a different era. And we have to step our game up to meet the mentality of today's youth. You have to know how to communicate to them. And you ain't going to reach all of them. Remember, that's a part of the family. Remember, communication. You know, you got to listen. I'm telling you, I taught parenting classes. Parents didn't even know gang talk. I mean, dude on the phone talking about cuz, blood. They ain't paying no attention. Hoorah. You know, what the hell you talking about? Hoorah. You know, I'll be on it. You know, I wouldn't let my boys, I had three of them, out my sight. You can't go no further than this house. You can't walk to the store. Because I knew the influences and the probability. I'm not saying all parents can do it the way I did. But I'm saying that you got to be on top of it. You know, you can't just have a baby and kiss them when they're babies and then let them grow when they get 13 and cut them loose. You know, I mean, they just got here. They ain't been here but 13 years. They don't even know how to tie their shoes right. You know, you gotta be on top of it. And your woman gotta be on top of it. The mama. You got some mamas that can throw a slip 100 yards and hit her son right on the head. You be thinking and say, boy, get your ass in the house before it gets dark. You understand? I mean, some serious mamas, single mothers that raised kids to be lawyers and attorneys and educators. Because they was on top of it. They'd go down to school with a rag on their head. And, you know, and say, hey, look, my boy is in your office. And you start whipping your butt right there in the office. You understand? That was the old days. Now, you know, you can't do a lot of that stuff, but I'm just talking about, I knew some mama, my grandma. That's why I don't go to the South no more. Man, we went back there, I got whipping every day I was in Louisiana. I said, damn. You understand? I didn't know how to clean out no pig pen. I didn't know how to stack wood in the shed house. I didn't know all that stuff. I'm straight out, you know, they had outhouses. You had to go outside to use the bathroom. I couldn't wait to get back to the project. Hell, you know, I thought, man, once you go back there to the South, you get home and you say, damn, this looks like, hey, man, it's beautiful, the project, compared to where I just came from. You understand? It's a whole new different game out there. And I'm just saying, Kwame, our struggle is one in which we have to push culture as a remedy. That's one of the reasons they attacked Maulana so much. When we went to the Black Congress, all the organizations was there. Panthers argued a 10-point plan. OIC argued that they got to train them. Ted Watkins said we got to have jobs. All of that. But he was the only one to say we need culture. We need a value system. You understand? An ethic system. That's why they demonize us. They don't demonize this brother because of no Panther fight. Panthers were fighting among themselves. They were shooting at each other. You know, they broke up. But when you start talking about culture, you're talking about changing the individual. That's what makes the Muslims so strong. They take a brother and put him in a suit, give him a tie, and then give him the Quran. He think he's getting in the Muslim to be a revolutionary? Shoot. The only revolution is in him, changing you. And we were raised to get married. That was the goal of black men in the 50s and 30s and 40s. How many kids are taught to get married and why they get married? We got married because that's how you built a home. But one man could take care of a whole family with one job. Now your woman got to work. It's a different struggle out there, buddy. It's a different, we got to step up our game to meet AI and all the technology and all the things that they do to corrupt our children, especially the music. If you sit down with your kids and teach them, you know, say, look, like Kwame asked that girl, what does this mean? Why are you listening to this? See, how many parents do that? You know? See, that's the key. But I mean, I enjoyed the program tonight, Kwame. You're always on top of it. And you're fighting them. A righteous battle. And I'm glad you're doing it, and the brothers and sisters that's with you are doing a great job in exposing the harmful effects and the psychological and cultural corruption of us as a people by using music. But they should be studying instead of listening to music, you know, at a young age. They should be studying instead of with earphones and a phone, you know, sleeping with it next to them. You know, but anyway, that's all I gotta say.
All right, Brother Kravnow.
Man, I mean, right on, man. It's a tough road to hoe, but we're doing it. I just remember going to Alabama, my first memory going down south and getting whipped. I'm like, I didn't do nothing wrong. Why did what she whip me for? She wanted to test and see how California people, whatever, and whipped me with just some leather strap. I'm like, why is a woman whipping me? She wanted to see how tough California children are, she told me. I'm like, I couldn't believe that. It's nothing. Yeah. And so in 2000, I just got to mention this when we talk about this culture. In 2021, in 2020, you had 200 rappers who were killed. Just 200 rappers. In 2021, it went up to 250. Of the 250, 200 died from gun violence. The United States had over 20,000 gun violence deaths in 2021. Of the 20,000, 59% of them were 13% of the population, black folks. 13% of the population, damn near 60%. Of the gun violence death. So at least 12,000 Africans, gun violence death in 2021, coincides with 250 rappers being killed. I want to point that out. And also, I got some good news that we already knew, Brother Ratzakati and those on the CN, because we talked about the good times piece. Good news from the good times front. The good times bleak again, black again. So it's been canceled. They're not going to do a second season of this crap, which they would have did back in April when it was the year anniversary, April 25. Yes, it hasn't been canceled, and so that news has been getting out there. So great work, our brothers and sisters in CMOTAF, Clear the Airways Project, you know, going down protesting in New York, simultaneously in L.A. Brother Manson, he was with us in Chicago when we protested at the Golden State Bulls game last February in Chicago. And so, yeah, it's that's some good news, but we still Brother Sabidi pointed out the other day that this is only, again, canceling it for the second season. That crap is still being showed on Netflix. You can still get it. We want it off. We're still going to push to get that crap off. We're still pushing for some recompense from Steph Curry, including an apology for that madness. So quick update again, some kind of good news on the good times front, on the good times bleak again, beyond animated minstrel show front. I see you got that footage right there too from the demonstration and what have you, man. So that's some good update for the people. More work to do though. We got to get back out there on them again.
Just let me know, brother. Let me know. Yeah, so Brother Kwamina, excellent as usual, and we're going to keep it going. The struggle continues, right, Professor Ra?
You know it is.
Yeah.
It's always a good day to struggle.
Yeah. Brother Ahi, Brother Ernest, appreciate you for always being here, and we're going to keep doing this. We're not going to stop. Only thing going to stop us is you know what? And then hopefully somebody else take it over. We need some soldiers coming behind us when we finish doing it.
We definitely do.
So next week, next week, you guys, next week, let's go back here to the CEN, Community Education Network. Let's go back. Let's go to the home page. And matter of fact, this week, we haven't finished this week. We got this brother Leon Mobley coming on tomorrow. It's our Roots Reggae Reasoning Sessions series we have going. We have another component of the Community Education Network podcasting. So he's coming on tomorrow. We're going to enjoy him and talk about his life in reggae. And then next week, we're celebrating 5 years of the CEN show, and Professor Rob was our guest 5 years ago, December 10th, and Professor Rob is going to be our honored guest. So we have a really good time planned for next Wednesday. All right, so hopefully people can show up. Professor Rob, anything for Tuesday?
Next Tuesday, I'm trying to have Dr. Segun Shabaka on.
Okay.
He's going to be talking about the International Festival in New York. That's one of the oldest cultural festivals. And he's going to be talking about the various organizations that he was a part of.
All right. Excellent. I hope we get him on.
Yeah.
So everybody, continue to have a great day. Each one, teach one, in Conscious Corner. Right on, folks.